Well, good evening and welcome to Ocean County Baptist Church. We are so thankful that you are with us this evening to go through a Bible study this evening. To those of you that are home on live stream, we thank you for joining us. We will be looking in the book of Exodus, chapter number 32 this evening. Exodus, chapter number 32. Just before we get started, just a couple of quick announcements. Remember, our services for Sunday are 8 o'clock, 9:30, and 11 o'clock. The 9:30 service will be live streamed, and then in the evening we'll have a 5:30 panel discussion and our 6 p.m. evening service that will be live streamed also. In addition, Sunday morning, this is 4th of July weekend, so hopefully everyone will stay safe and enjoy themselves as much as humanly possible with everything going on. But just a reminder, this Sunday morning we will be observing communion, so if you would like to stop in tomorrow to pick up the communion elements, the bread and the juice, you can stop in tomorrow anytime until 3 o'clock. Otherwise, if you're planning on being here Sunday, we'll have it set up for you on Sunday, and you can just get it as you come in on Sunday morning. Exodus, chapter number 32. We're going to be looking at a passage of Scripture which, as you read through it, is a very alarming, sobering passage of Scripture, but I think it's a passage of Scripture that we can, you know, apply in our own lives to help us as an encouragement to be careful for certain pitfalls, and they're pitfalls that we can very easily fall into. So we're going to be looking in Exodus chapter number 32. We're going to start reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people brake off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it, a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play." Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have, Lord, to open up the word, to study, and Lord, to just hear what you would have for us this evening. Lord, help us that this would be a warning for us, and Lord, just a passage that we can use to, Lord, to beware, to walk circumspectly, Lord, and to be careful, because there is a real enemy that desires to, Lord, just to draw us away from the things that you would have us, Lord, an enemy that desires to, Lord, not take our salvation, but, Lord, destroy our testimony and destroy our work with you. So, Lord, help us to be mindful of the truths that we are going to read. And, Lord, we just pray that the Holy Spirit would be our teacher this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're in chapter 32 of Exodus. Moses has gone up to the mount to meet with the Lord. And he has received from the Lord. Now, Moses hasn't returned yet, but he has received the Ten Commandments. God has given him the law of what he is to bring back to the people. And in the midst of that, he also gives him instructions on building the tabernacle, very specific instructions as you read through the passages of Scripture. And as this is taking place on Mount Sinai, we have this story here in the midst of it all in chapter number 32 of Exodus. Not a very joyful message, but a warning, I believe, to keep our focus. I think, you know, as we look around us and see everything that's going on around us today, it is very easy to lose focus. And when I mean lose focus, I mean take our eyes off the Lord. It's very easy to look at the things that are going on around us and that become the center of our thoughts and the center of our hearts. But we must remember to never take our eyes off the Lord. That God needs to be first, foremost, Lord of our lives, the priority in everything that we do. Now listen, this pandemic, we don't know how long it's going to go on for. It could go on for another month, could go on for another 6 months. We don't know. But at some point, we're going to be moving, hopefully sooner rather than later, beyond this. And if we're trusting in the fact that, hey, once this is over, then I can get back to focusing on God, can I tell you, there'll be something else right around the corner waiting. And sometimes we get caught up in this idea that once I get beyond this, then my walk with God will be strong. And there could be another trial waiting around the corner. It might be worse than that. We don't want to think about that, but it could be. It may be 2 years from now, 3 years from now. Listen, I can tell you right now, I was thinking about this, and you know, my mind sometimes wanders in some very odd places, but I was thinking, you know, just this, I mean, we're in July now. So it was only 6-7 months ago that we were celebrating Christmas. And I am sure that the majority of us had no consideration that this is where we would be today. We were rejoicing in the birth of our Savior. And yet, not even 3 months later, this happened. Now listen, we need to remember that regardless of what is taking place around us, regardless of the distractions that may be coming our way, and by the way, the distractions don't necessarily always need to be bad things. They could be good things. As a matter of fact, most of the distractions in our life tend to be things that are good or things that we view as things that aren't necessarily ungodly things, let's put it that way, or things that aren't necessarily tragedies or trials. Sometimes it's just the busyness and the things that we have in our life that become distractions that help us to lose our focus, that help us to lose track of where God desires for us to be. Now listen, God is the author and creator of all things, and I believe God, you know, has created things and brought things in our life for us to allow us to enjoy those things. And I believe we should. Listen, there's a time for rest. There's a time for enjoyment of things. I believe that with all my heart. God allows, you know, he created all things, so there are things in our life that we can enjoy. However, when those things take the place of God, they are no longer in their rightful place. And if they're not in their rightful place, then neither is God. And so we get to this story here. And Moses, if you read back in Exodus chapter 24 and in verse number 18, Moses says, you know, that he is going to be gone for 40 days and 40 nights. So, listen, it's a little bit over a month. It's not that long of a period of time. Now, consider where the children of Israel have come from. Think about what they have just recently seen. God delivered them from the bondage of Egypt. God brought them through the Red Sea. And to consider that not too far in the past, they walked on dry land through this sea. And then as they get to the other side, they turned and witnessed the utter destruction of their enemy. They witnessed this with their eyes. They all saw this. They experienced it. It was part of their what's the word I'm looking for? It was part of what they had experienced in their life. It wasn't something they heard from somebody else. You know, it's powerful when somebody tells you a work that God's done in their life. It's much more powerful when you're the one who experiences it. And so they had experienced this, most of them had anyway, or even if they hadn't, they had seen heard firsthand what God had done. And yet we get to this place here, and some of the things that take place are pretty shocking when you read them. And so I want to encourage you tonight, listen, regardless of COVID-19 or anything else that may be contributing to us losing our focus, let's be mindful that God still wants us to put him first place in our lives, no matter what happens. And listen, I know it's hard. Things are starting very slowly to get back to normal. Okay? And as things start to return to some normalcy, okay, the danger is that we will get back into the same routine that we were in before. Now listen, if that routine includes having God first and foremost in your life, that's great. But I think for many of us, it's a routine that was filled with more than we can do in one day. And what ends up happening is when our days are filled like that, we lose our focus. We lose track. We lose sight of what the goal, what the calling is for the Christian. And it's to share the gospel, to glorify the Lord, to live a life that's pleasing to God. That at the end of our life, God can look down on us and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Isn't that the goal for all of us? Now listen, I understand the busyness of life. And as we start to return to normal, the danger is to start jumping into everything that we haven't had for the last 3 or 4 months. There is that danger. Now listen, I understand that as things return to normal in this situation, things are going to start to get a little bit hectic for a while. I know that as well as anybody. All right, we're trying to have graduation next week and get ready for school in 2 months. That's a lot. And I'm sure each of us has similar stories. But let's not forget that none of these things, anything that we do, if the goal for anything that we do is to glorify the Lord, then we need to keep focused so that we are doing it in the power and the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. And the Israelites had lost their focus. 40 days, Moses said he would be gone. Sometimes our circumstances prevent us from seeing God. I read a story. John Wesley was telling the story of a man who was troubled, and he was expressing doubt about God's goodness in his life. And he said, I do not know what I shall do with all this worry and trouble. So, listen, many of us have been in that case. Have we ever questioned, God, where are you? God, why are you letting this happen? You know, when we do those things, we're questioning the goodness of God. You know, God is always good. Regardless of the circumstances in our life, God is always good. At the same time that this man is expressing his doubts to John Wesley, John Wesley, you know, it's funny, some preachers and some Christians, they can look at any situation and they see an illustration. It doesn't come that easy for people. Some people are great. They can say, oh, yeah, you see that murder hornet over there. I can make an illustration out of that. Not that easy for me. But John Wesley looks over and there's a cow on the other side of this fence, and there's a stone wall. The fence is actually a wall. And he says this. He says, do you know, asked Wesley, why that cow is looking over the wall? The man looks worried. He says, no, I don't. Wesley said, the cow is looking over the wall because she can't see through it. That is what you must do with your wall of trouble. Look over it and avoid it. The things that are happening right now, we need to look beyond that. Because you know what? Faith allows us to look beyond our circumstances. And when we look beyond our circumstances, then we see Christ. See, the problem is we see everything going on around us, and everything is so muddled and everything is so cluttered that we don't see Christ. We just see this mess. But we need to look beyond this. We need to look over this. Our faith enables us to believe that God is sovereign, God is in control, and we look beyond the circumstances to see and keep our eyes on Christ. So let's look at a few things here. In verse number 1, the Bible says, and when the people saw that Moses delayed, right away you get a sense of what the problem is. And when the people saw, their eyes wandered. Their eyes wandered. They turned their eyes from God to the circumstance. Just because Moses wasn't there doesn't mean that they should take their eyes off of God. You know, we don't only keep our eyes on God when the circumstances around us are favorable. Because the reality of it is, circumstances aren't always going to be favorable. That doesn't mean that God is no longer sovereign or that God isn't in control. God is in control. And God already knows the end of that circumstance or that situation. But sometimes we allow our eyes to wander away from God and either onto a circumstance or something else, and we lose our focus. And right away you see it says, and when the people saw, when they looked, when they took their eyes off of God. See, if they had kept their eyes on the Lord, they wouldn't have had a problem. Because they, regardless of whether Moses was gone 40 days, 80 days, 6 months, they would know, listen, God is in control of this situation, and we know that whatever is happening for our good. Now, they didn't know what was going on. They were about to receive the law. God was giving instructions on the tabernacle. There were good things going on behind the scenes. They didn't know it. But because they took their eyes off of God, they missed out on the blessings of what was taking place. And sometimes, you know, we could miss out on the blessings of something God is trying to show us because we're so focused on the circumstances. And when we look at a circumstance, what tends to happen? We internalize it to ourselves. Like that circumstance is only happening to me, or we only look at it as it affects me. And when we do that, we miss out on a potential blessing of something God may be trying to do in our life. I know that having, and I know we're a little bit freer to be out and about now, but when it first started, I mean, most of us were home pretty much 24/7 for a good month or two. And I know that, you know, at first it was like, oh, this is new. Hey, no work. Yeah, woohoo, this is great. But you know, that starts to wear thin pretty quick. You're like, okay, yeah, this is all right. You know, by week three, you're like, you know what, let's go out in the backyard. I've done more yard work in the last 3 months, I think, than I've done in the last 20 years. I just want you all to know that. Anyway. But after a while, it starts to wear thin. You start to say to yourself, okay, you know what? No, I don't want to do this anymore. You know, and you start to lose sight that, you know what? Regardless of what the circumstances of that situation are, God is still in, he hasn't stopped being in control because the situation is no longer a favorable one to us. But the danger is that we take our eyes off of God and we put them on the circumstances. Now listen, seeing is not necessarily a bad thing. Seeing or looking is not necessarily a bad thing. It's when we look at the circumstances through our eyes instead of God's eyes. Now listen, looking at a circumstance isn't necessarily a terrible thing if you're looking at the circumstances in your life through the eyes of Christ. That's the difference. See, we look at the circumstance through our eyes, and we have a very, at best, flawed view of the situation. Whereas if we look at the situation and the circumstances through the eyes of Christ and say, Lord, what are you trying to show me? You say, well, you think this pandemic was just for me? That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that even in this epidemic, worldwide situation, I think God is trying to show each and every one of us something. Because the Bible tells me all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. So if that's the case, then whatever it is that's happening is working for my good. Well, what is it you're trying to show me? And personally for me, one of the things that God has shown me is that I really have too much clutter in my life. Too many things, trying to accomplish too many things. Almost to the detriment of my relationship with the Lord. And that can't be. And God has clearly showed that to me. Now listen, when we get back to school in September, whatever that's going to look like, I don't want to go back to that where I was. I want to make sure that the primary thing is the primary thing and that everything has its rightful place. So their eyes wandered. Their circumstances, now they took their eyes off the Lord and they looked at circumstances. Their circumstances appeared unfavorable. Isn't it funny? Because now they look and they say, Moses delayed. Well, what exactly does that mean, Moses delayed? They had set expectations for when Moses should be back. Do you ever do that? I mean, listen, I can tell you I've done that in this situation. When this first happened, my first thought was, oh man, we're gonna be locked up for 2 or 3 weeks. 2 or 3 weeks, 2 or 3 months would be good right now. And what happens is we set expectations because we're looking at the circumstances through our eyes and we're not filtering them through the eyes of Christ. And you know what? Sometimes I have found that God will keep us in a circumstance until he shows us or until we learn what we need to. I can be a stubborn person. I don't want to stay in the midst of that circumstance longer than I need to, but sometimes that's what has to happen. And listen, sometimes God is trying to show us something. You know, they said, well, Moses delayed. Well, we know it was only 40 days. Why did they think he delayed? Well, it was because they were looking at the circumstances from their selfish perspective, as opposed to saying, what is God trying to show me? Listen, our timing is not God's timing. It's not God's timing. In Psalm, I'm going to look at a couple of verses in Psalm. Psalm 27, these are verses that, even as I was putting this together, I think to myself, it was very convicting to me because this is an area that I struggle in. Psalm 27, and in verse number 14, the Bible says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You're feeling confused. You're feeling anxious. Wait on the Lord, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Not you. God will strengthen your heart. If you do what? If you wait on him. Now listen, that's contrary to the way we think. Because the longer we have to wait, the less strength we feel. Isn't that the truth? Because think about it. The longer we have to wait for something, the more anxious we become. Because we like to have answers like this. We live in a society, we need answers right away. They just recently, you know, put the guidelines for the school out. And I know that there's people anxious to get answers. And I told them, I said, listen, I understand you guys want answers. But I said, the document is 125 pages long. I said, it's going to take me a few weeks to even just to go through this whole thing. And I understand, listen, I'm in the same boat. And so we're all trying to figure things out. But sometimes we just, how are we going to get, you know, how is that anxiousness going to be removed? By waiting on the Lord. Not by waiting, but by waiting on the Lord. Psalm 37, a couple of pages over. Psalm 37, verse 7. Psalm 37, 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. I have no patience. I have zero patience. I don't like waiting in lines. I don't like sitting in traffic. I'm telling you, I just don't. It makes me like this. I would drive 20 minutes out of my way to avoid traffic. I would drive 20 minutes longer going somewhere so that I wouldn't have to sit in traffic. I can't. If I see a red light, that's it. Blood pressure's up. I'm not a patient person. But the Bible says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Listen, there's a lot of people bringing a lot of wickedness to pass. Don't worry about it. Trust in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Psalm 37, verse 9. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Psalm 130. Like I said, listen, this is directly at me because this is something that I struggle with all the time and constantly having to remind myself, listen, I got to be patient. I got to wait on God. Psalm 130, verse 5. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. There's a lot of Christians that are struggling with this idea of hope. Where do we get the hope? In the word of God. We need to turn to the word of God so that we have the hope that we don't feel like we have. Why is there anxiousness? There's anxiousness because our hope is waning. Why is our hope waning? Because we're not in the word of God. He says right there, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. Our hope is not in vaccines, cures, things opening up. That's not what our hope is in. Our hope is in the Lord. And you find the Lord in the Bible. In Isaiah, a verse that we're familiar with, Isaiah chapter 40 and in verse 31. Isaiah 40 and verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Wait on the Lord has the opposite effect of what we think it should. Waiting makes us anxious. Waiting makes us fret. Waiting makes us like, okay, I got to do something. What waiting does sometimes is it makes us say, I got to jump in and do something because God's not doing it. And that's what the Israelites were doing. They said, Moses is gone. He's delaying. We got to do something. And that's what we do sometimes. But it's the opposite. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So their circumstances appeared unfavorable. Their decision-making was misguided. Back in Exodus chapter 32, I lost my spot. Moses delayed to come down at the mount. The people gathered themselves together. When we start gathering ourselves together, instead of going to God in prayer, the decisions that are going to be made are not going to be good decisions. Think about the progression here. Their eyes wandered. Now they're looking at the circumstances. The circumstances appear to be unfavorable. Bad decision too. Now they say, well, because the circumstances are unfavorable, I need to make a decision. But instead of saying, let me get on my knees and pray, the people gathered themselves together. And when that happens, our decision making is misguided. Because instead of the discernment from God, we're seeking our, like, almost self-help. Instead of going to God and seeking prayer, instead of going to God in prayer and seeking wisdom, they went to themselves. Listen, lack of wisdom always leads to bad decisions. Lack of wisdom always leads to bad decisions. Look what it says. The people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods. Wow. They didn't need gods. They had a God. Jehovah God. The one who had parted the Red Sea. The one who had them walk through on dry land. The one who fed them. The one who freed them from their bondage. The ones that promised Abraham the covenant of promise that he had fulfilled in his son, Isaac, and then Jacob. That God is their God. That God is our God. But they say, up, make us gods. Listen, when we don't go to the Lord for wisdom, it never, never, ever leads to a good decision. Make us gods which shall go before us. Now listen, we know that part of what God was telling Moses was, thou shalt have no other gods beside thee. And if they had waited for Moses, they would know that. Although they knew that anyway because of the lives of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the things that went on with the idols and all that. So they already knew this, but God was about to tell them in no uncertain terms, you shouldn't have any other gods beside me. And here they are, 40 days Moses is gone, and here they are, make us gods. And that word up is almost like almost a condescending kind of, hey, Aaron, let's do something here. It wasn't a, can you please? Their decision-making was misguided. Make us gods which shall go before us. Let me throw this in there. Do you know that their God already went before them? He was a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He went before them already. They didn't need gods to go before them. God had already done that for them. God's leader surrendered to the pressure. You know, Moses had left Aaron in charge. Aaron was the priest. And, you know, at the end you see that Aaron gets cut a little bit of slack. But Aaron should have known better. He was the one that God left in charge. And listen, most of us, if not all of us, are in positions of leadership in one way or another, whether it's in our homes, at our jobs, whatever the situation is. And as leaders, I want you to see what's happened here. Their eyes wandered. They looked at the circumstances, which they see as being unfavorable. That leads to a bad decision. And now you have all these people gathering together. And now the leader, who, by the way, he could have put an end to this. You know, if Aaron had stood up and said, you know what? I know what you're going through, but you're wrong. We're going to stop this right now before this gets any worse. But he didn't. He was the leader that should have had the discernment to know what the right thing to do was. And instead, Look at verse 2. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings. And then they go through a whole bunch of passages here where it talks about how they start preparing to make this molten calf. Wow. His discernment was non-existent. The Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, ask of God. And listen, we don't have wisdom to make all the decisions. Let me encourage you, go to God. If you're feeling anxious or you don't know what to do about something, go to the Lord. Seek his wisdom. Seek discernment from God. Don't make the decision on your own. Don't look at the TV for your answers. Don't go to CNN or Fox News or any of they don't have the answers. God does. Now you say, well, I keep looking through my Bible trying to find the answer, but I can't find it. That's okay. You pray. You ask God. And you keep reading your Bible faithfully, and God will give you the discernment and the wisdom you need to make the decisions. But be willing to wait. See, here's the problem. Okay, God, I have a problem. And we start going through the scriptures. You know, that's not necessarily what search the scriptures means. It doesn't mean, you know, the Bible is not your, you know, internet search engine every time you have a problem. Now listen, the Bible does have the answers. But those answers come as we faithfully read the scriptures day in and day out. What happens too often is we have a problem, we go into the Bible looking for the answer, we can't find it, we close it up and we put it to the side. No, it needs to be a daily part of our life. His discernment was non-existent. His decisions affected the people. You know that the decisions that Aaron made, that wasn't just a decision for him. It had an effect on every single person that was there. Every single person that was there, it impacted. In Proverbs 29, verse 12, the Bible says, if a ruler hearken to lies, all his servants are wicked. Wow. Well, guess what? Aaron hearkened to lies. And the impact of that, we're going to see in a few minutes, affected everyone. He could have stopped it, but he didn't. Hey, let's make good decisions. Let's be that light in the darkness. Let's be that candle on a hill. Let's be that salt of the earth. His decisions affected the people. His decisions were ungodly. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 12. Remember, he was a priest. He should have known better. Proverbs 16, 12. It is an abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness. Whatever decision Aaron was to have made, it needed to be a righteous decision, not a wicked decision. His decisions were ungodly. His involvement was extensive. You know, this is the part that as I read through this, that kind of shocks me. In verse 2, he said, give me the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives. Verse 3, and all the people break off their golden earrings. In verse 4, and he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. I want you to think about this. Here's Aaron, the priest, making this molten calf, taking the time to do this, to carve it. Wow. He personally carved that. Look what it says in verse number 5. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar. Listen, when you start to make one bad decision, it usually leads to more bad decisions. He built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. So he builds this false idol, builds an altar to it, and then says, hey, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord, and we're going to offer burnt offerings and peace offerings to the Lord. Not with that molten calf, you're not. And we need to make sure we keep our focus where it needs to be so that the lives that we lead are lives that honor and glorify God. And listen, we may have false idols in our life. Put them out. Put them out. The result of this was debauchery, idolatry, mocking. I mean, they were mocking Moses. It was horrendous what was going on. Horrendous. Look in Proverbs 29. You know, the end result of these kind of situations is never good. Proverbs 29, verse 2 says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And listen, when Aaron as a leader made ungodly decision, it always leads to mourning amongst the people. Now listen, initially, they weren't mourning. They thought it was great. They thought it was great. You know, Solomon learned in the book of Ecclesiastes that those things are great for a season. But there is a judgment day. And there is a day of mourning. The people were, they were having fun. They were having a feast. Look what it says at the end of verse 6. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. They were having a grand old time. Moses is receiving the law from God. God is giving him instruction on the tabernacle. And they're down there having a grand old time. They lost their focus. Let's keep our focus. Number two, the wrath of God was turned towards the people. And listen, like I said before, it's for a season. Because sooner or later, there's going to come a day. Verse 7, and the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. Listen, the first thing is that God judges sin. God judges sin. You say, well, we know that. You look at the world around us today, and people are living lives. I'm not talking about Christians. I'm just talking about the world in general. People are living lives of complete mockery to Almighty God. That's the reality of it. What's going on today is it's a travesty. You tell people about God, and they absolutely laugh in your face. They don't want to know anything about it. Now, listen, there are still people getting saved. Praise the Lord for that. But the general tone of society today is one of complete disdain for the things of God. There used to be a time where, you know, people may have not been saved, but at least they had a conscience of the things of God, that there was some conviction. That's gone. You know, the Bible talks about having a seared conscience. That's what's going on. Nobody cares about anything anymore. It's awful what's going on there. And listen, God will judge sin. God has to judge sin. Why? Because his holiness demands it. Listen, people like to say, well, you know, God is a God of love. We hear that all the time. God's a God of love, and he is. God is love, and he is a God of love. But he's also, and we say God is a God of love, and that's all 100% true. But we also leave out the part where we say that God is holy. And if there's an attribute of God that people today either don't want to hear about or don't want to, it's God's holiness. God's holiness demands that sin be judged. He's a righteous judge. And because he's a righteous judge, that sin has to be judged. There's a penalty. The Bible talks for the wages of sin is death. But guess what? Jesus Christ paid the penalty for us. You know, when he died on that cross, the penalty was paid. And so all we have to do is accept Christ and accept the sacrifice he made. And the Bible says that we can have the righteousness of Christ. That's awesome. But that doesn't eliminate the fact that God has to judge sin. And the truth is, all of us will give an account. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 talks about that, and Romans chapter 14, verse 12 talks about the fact that every one of us will give an account. God judges sin, and God is a righteous judge. We talked about that in Psalm 35, and in verse number 24, Psalm 35, verse 24. The Bible says, judge me, O Lord my God, according to thy righteousness, and let them not rejoice over me. Psalm 50 and in verse number 6. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. What are we going to be judged on? The righteousness of God, his holiness. Not that fact that we're better than somebody else, but according to his judgments, not ours. We like to compare. You know, people today say, well, I'm not as bad as that guy. Or, you know, I mean, you could just see that the what's the word I'm looking for? There's just a complete uncaring tone about sin. And sadly, that has crept into Christianity. Listen, God views sin very seriously. And so we need to be careful that we don't allow sin in our life or that we treat it very flippantly, but that we look at it as God looks at it. Listen, sin cost Jesus everything. But he willingly gave his life. Why? Because he loved us. So yes, God does love, but let's not forget what it cost Christ. God is a righteous judge, and his judgments are true. People say, well, you know, what's good for you may not be good for somebody else. Well, hold on a second. No, it's not my opinion. It's the word of God. People sometimes will say, well, you know, why do you say that's true? What makes you any more right? I'm not right. God is. Why? Because his judgments are true. Psalm 119, verse 160. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. And so, listen, we can sit there and question, and people can debate all they want, but the reality is God is holy, God is love, but his judgments are true. And when we stand before the Lord, we're not going to be able to sit there and kind of talk our way out of, well, Lord, you know, that guy, he was a lot worse than me. Oh, no. Each and every one of us gives account of our lives. So the wrath of God was turned toward the people. And the last point is the grace of God was demonstrated, but not without consequences. And we're going to see that in a second. In verse number 11, back in Exodus, verse number 11, and Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people? Moses is receiving the law. He doesn't even know what's going on. Why is thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth? Verse 12, wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out to slay them? What's going on in verses 11 through 14 is Moses is making intercession on behalf of the people. Now, Moses doesn't even know what's going on. And we're going to see in a second, Moses ended up being very upset because of what was going on. But he's interceding on their behalf. Let me just stop for one second. That right there is a picture of what Jesus Christ did for us. Think about that. Moses intercedes on behalf of the people. Christ intercedes on our behalf. You can read that in John 17. You know, when you read the prayer of Jesus to the Father, his prayer is for his disciples, for protection, and for a lot of other things. But it's a prayer of intercession for the apostles. Moses advocates with the Father. He's pleading for them. Well, guess what? Who's our advocate? Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. He is our advocate. He is the one who pleads our case. Moses is pleading their case before God. And as you read through verses 12, 13, and 14, he starts talking about the covenant of promise that God had made with Abraham, that his people would be that through the seed of Abraham would many nations, he would be the father of many nations, and the world would be blessed through Abraham. He reminds God of this covenant. So Moses points to the covenant, but Jesus Christ points to his finished work. See, Moses says, remember that promise you made, the covenant you made with Abraham? You know, God, remember that covenant. Don't destroy your people. Because if reading back, and we ran out of time to go through it, but if you read back, okay, God says, I have seen this people. Behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Verse 10, now therefore let me alone that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them. And Moses says, but remember your covenant with Abraham. You said that the nations through Abraham would be blessed, that you would be the father of many nations. Don't forget that, Lord. See, Christ, what does he do? He points to the finished work. So when God looks at us, you know what he sees? The finished, completed work of Jesus Christ and his righteousness in our life. Then you see the indignation of Moses. So now Moses comes down. It says in the verse 14, the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do. Verse 15, Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both of their sides. On the one side and on the other were they written, and the tables were the work of God. And then in verse 17, when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. And he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. And then in verse 19, And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh into the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot. Moses was upset. Why? Their actions condemned them. Listen, what they were doing revealed their heart. Our testimony, I spoke on this on Sunday, our testimony is vital to us. We need to maintain a good testimony, even in spite of all the things that are going on. Listen, this world is anxious. This world is running fearful. They should look to the Christian and see something different. You know what they need to see? The peace of God that passes all understanding. So they can say, how can you be so calm in this? You know, God's in control. But what if you died? Then I'd be in glory with my Savior. And that's what we need to communicate. Listen, nobody thinks about dying. I'm not sitting here going, man, I hope I die tonight. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is, hey, we need to have that peace and that hope that only comes through Jesus Christ and convey that to a world that needs it. The indignation of Moses was because their hearts were shown. Number one, their idols were crushed. In verse 20, and he took the calf which they had made. The first thing he does is destroys the idols. That's a good place to start. Even in his anger, the first thing he does is destroy the idol. Then he confronts Aaron. And Moses, in verse 21, said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee, that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? See what he did? He said, Aaron, this is on you. Look, what have you done? He was the leader. We talked about that. Now Moses is confronting him. And Aaron says, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people. You know how they are. Don't blame me, Moses. You know them. This is what they wanted. So I just said, well, I can't fight with them. Listen, sometimes being a leader means you have to make a tough decision. Sometimes being a leader means you have to make a decision that you're the only one that makes that decision. Everybody else is like, no, 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 no. But if it's the right decision and if it's a godly decision, then stand by it. Verse 26, he challenges the people. In verses 22 down, it's basically just Aaron restating what had already happened. In verse 26, what he says, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? You know, that's a good question to ask ourselves regularly. Who's on the Lord's side? When confrontation comes, who's on the Lord's side? And then in verses 27 to 35, we see the resulting consequences. Verse 28, their actions had consequences. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. Listen, God's grace, and we're going to, you know, as we kind of wrap this up, you're going to see that God dealt with the people, probably the ones who were the most involved in this, but he didn't destroy the nation as a whole because he was honoring, by his grace, the covenant he had made with Abraham. But that doesn't mean many of those people that were involved in this, they never saw the promised land. Why? Because of their sin. Listen, there's consequences. I read this kind of a paraphrasing. Before we can understand the full extent of God's mercy, we must understand the greatness of our sin. If we don't understand how great our sin is, how are we ever going to understand how great God's mercy is? Well, I'm not a bad person. Well, guess what? If we think that, then we don't really need the mercy and grace of God, do we? But when we realize how wicked we are and how close we were to the pits of hell before Jesus Christ reached down his hand and pulled us out of those miry pits, then you realize, man, praise God for his mercy. Thank the Lord for his grace. The resulting consequence, their actions had consequences. Their actions required confession. We see that in verse 30 to 32. And then their actions were judged, but God's grace and mercy was extended for them that the people would see the promised land. Not all of them. Many of them died. And it talks about at the end of verse 35, and the Lord plagued the people. Now, some have said that that plague was the 3,000 that already died. Others say that it was a pestilence that came upon the people. The Bible doesn't specifically say it. Whatever the conclusion is, it wasn't good. Because they made the calf which Aaron made. Let me encourage you. Listen, it's very hard sometimes to keep our focus. People here, very sobering story, but they lost their focus. my encouragement to you is tonight, hey, let's keep our focus. There is nothing greater that we can do than maintain our focus and keep our eyes on the Lord. Satan wants to draw us away. It was a momentary thing for them. It happened this 40 days. That's all it was. And they lost their focus. And look at the results. But listen, let me encourage you. In the midst of everything that's going on, whatever COVID-19 holds in the next few months, in the near future, listen, there's another battle coming right around the corner. But ask yourself, hey, who's on the Lord's side? Am I going to stand true regardless of what may come and just say, I'm going to honor you, Lord, and I'm going to do whatever you call me to do? Let's be faithful. Let's stay focused. Let's stay on track. And let's honor God with everything in us, that when people look at us, they see Jesus Christ, not fearful, anxious, fretting people, but people that are hoping, trusting, and resting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? All right.